Wait a minute.
Y'all crazy bitch.
R-D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
You gotta fight.
I
a brown eyed girl.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Thank God Cancer Saved Our Divorce. My name is Denny Berlins, and I will be your quarterback this week on the show. Go ahead, get it out of your system.
I'm just curious why you were shushing me. Like I'm going to talk to myself during the intro playing.
Well, you sometimes do.
Never.
Sometimes I expect you to talk and you don't, and sometimes I expect you to stay quiet. And you don't.
Oh, stop expecting me to do things.
Oh, that's your problem. There are lots of things that I expect you to do. So welcome this week to a very special edition of the show. We're piecing a show together for you this week. Let me just put it all out there. Can I do that? Would that be okay?
Denny is like sewing a blanket right now with the podcast.
I am creating a masterpiece is what I'm doing.
Not if you keep moving your mic around like that.
So last week, we had a great guest. We had an interview with an attorney from Miami.
I was so excited to have her on.
Well, she was great. And you can actually, her name is Taryn Sinatra. And you can find her on Instagram at Taryn_1979. That's Taryn underscore 19. What do you think the 1979 stands for?
I think that's probably when she was born.
That's a good year.
Why?
That's 5 years after I was born.
What? Why does that make it a good year? I'm confused.
Well, it's 13 years before you were born.
Yes.
Do that math real
quick. For anybody that's quick on math.
Yeah. So Taryn, we found actually on TikTok, and she kind of stumps on TikTok for dad's rights. And I think she handles all matters of family.
Yeah, well, back up. She's an attorney in Florida.
She is.
I guess, and you'll hear all this here in the interview, but she's an attorney in Florida, and she practices law specifically for family and marital matters. So she is not only well-versed in this in the law field, she is also divorced and co-parents well with her ex. And we talked a little bit about that. And she has kind of seen in her line of work where women tend to be looked at more favorably when it comes to kids, and men sometimes get screwed. So she likes her dad cases, is what she'll say.
Yeah. You can find her at divorceonadime.com. Divorce on a dime. When I got divorced, it was more than a dime.
Which time?
Yes, is the answer to that. Now, you don't hear Jamie's voice today. My mic is on the different side this time, so you may hear some noises from me.
He keeps hitting the mic, which he yells at us about all the time.
I have rearranged the Every Joke Has a Little Truth studio.
Boy, have you.
So things are different in here.
Including a fan.
We are getting ready to go live video. So we're going to not only have the podcast that you listen to and love every week, but we're going to add a YouTube channel that will play our video, or will play our podcast, a video podcast. Would that be a vodcast?
No, maybe.
A vidcast, maybe?
I think it's just a YouTube channel.
Maybe you could spearhead that. Could you put that together? Could you get the technology together for us to do that?
Could I? Yes. But will I?
Definitely.
Jury's still out.
Jury is definitely out. So we recorded this podcast earlier this weekend. Now, Jamie and Braden are going to be mad because they participated in the recording of the podcast, but it was so bad. It was so bad. The software was slow. Braden wasn't here.
We were trying new things. Jamie was complaining about being cold.
Yeah. It was horrible. It was horrible. So what we did was, Amanda and I have taken some snips from what we recorded, and we're going to put it in. So you'll still get your dose of Jamie. You'll get a small dose of Braden. Now, here's what's funny. You're not going to hear Braden's voice a lot this week at all.
No. Because, this will be the quietest he has ever been.
Which we probably should applaud that, I would say. A quiet Braden is a good Braden.
No.
Now.
No, that's just like a quiet toddler is not a good toddler. A quiet Braden is not a good Braden.
That's true. That's true. Now, Braden was a little starstruck, I believe.
A little?
When talking to Taryn.
More than a little.
Because he's going through the issues that she specializes in, and she's pretty, and he's 24. All of those things together make for a quiet Braden.
And Braden just himself does not have much self-control when it comes to pretty women. That's how he's ended up in the situation he's in.
I think Taryn would have handled him very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now let's get back to the audio cut at hand, shall we?
Okay.
What you're going to hear now is my discussion with Jamie. Now, part of the reason this podcast is late, or was late last week, is because she complained of being hot. So she was hardly here, right? So what did I do?
You fixed the studio.
I made a completely, revamped the studio, and here are the thanks that I get. So what you're going to hear now, I'm going to insert the portion of our recording that talks about the fan. Now, this should get me points with everybody listening. I am not respected, I am not appreciated, and it shows right here. Give it a listen.
Oh my God. Wee.
So we're recording this.
I got to tell you something.
You haven't even been introduced yet.
But I need to say it. I'm kind of chilly.
No.
Fake news.
You take it back right now.
Okay.
Jamie was too hot, so Denny went and found the world's biggest but quiet fan that he could.
And he did a really good job.
Now she's too cold.
And I wore shorts because I'm like, oh, this could be so fucking hot.
To my left.
Making noise and complaining about the temperature.
To my left, it's my ex-wife, Jamie.
You ruined everything, you stupid bitch. You ruined everything,
you stupid bitch.
You're just a lying little bitch who ruins things and wants the world to burn.
Bitch.
You're a stupid
bitch.
And lose some weight.
Say hello, Jamie.
Hello.
Oh my God. Wee.
So do you see my frustration on how I am never appreciated for the things I do?
On this one, I have to be on your side. I'm usually not on your side, but you worked super hard just to make her comfortable. And then she comes in and says, I'm kind of cold.
Finally, I am appreciated for the things that I offer.
I don't know about all that, and
you're
don't
right.
Expect it to be very often.
I am not appreciated for the things that I offer. Now, this next piece, I was so excited because we were going to begin our YouTube journey.
Yeah, that was the other part of what you worked on, is getting cameras and whatnot set up.
Which I think contributed to some of our issues.
Possibly.
Maybe your equipment isn't quite ready for all of that. We'll see. Who knows?
We're just going to wing it.
This next little snippet here. Now, I need to remind everyone, you're hearing bits and pieces of our first attempt at this podcast.
Actually, our second, because we had the interview and then the in and the out.
Yeah. And now we're putting it all together, except we're having to commentate on the in and the out.
On the nonsense that occurred.
Yeah, wait until everyone hears that there was a dating profiles that will never be heard.
That's probably a good thing.
Because you lost?
You know what? I wanted you to completely nix the entire thing.
I did. It will never be heard.
Then there should be no winner.
So here we go. This is a short one. What we're getting ready to hear is us talking to Jamie about being on camera while doing the podcast. You'll love it.
Oh my God. Wee.
Yeah, I forget. This is going to be interesting to watch back because I forgot that we were posting this on YouTube. And I do random shit.
Oh, you do all kinds of random shit. Like, you are the one that I'm actually worried about.
Why?
Because you are all the time fiddling and messing around.
Drawing
and
folding stuff.
You're writing things down about people that probably isn't very nice.
But listen, if I don't, I will go insane. I can't sit.
You can't sit where?
For
on
2 hours?
Yes. You can't sit on your butt is what you're telling me.
No,
right
I can
now.
Sit on my butt. I can't sit for 2 hours and not do anything.
Who says this is 2 hours?
You're supposed to be doing something. You're supposed to be talking.
Oh my God. Wee! Wee!
She is a fidgeter and a half.
Now I mean, at least with the cameras, people will, like, understand.
Have an idea of what we're talking about.
I think, we always talk about, you know, Jamie's hit the mic or she's, you know, shaking her drink or whatever, but they don't really hear it by the time you're done editing. So now they get to see the nonsense that
the train wreck that is Jamie.
Yes.
Yeah. So speaking of train wreck, she's now someone else's.
She is.
She used to be my train wreck. Yeah.
A while ago.
Oh, yeah. Not lately. Not lately. I got rid of that train.
Woo woo.
I picked up another train. Should we be describing this as that?
No.
Is that appropriate?
That's absolutely not a good descriptor. Moving on.
Probably not. So this next clip, which is the last one before your fantasy football update, which was spot on. Yes. So this next clip, there's breaking news at the Every Joke Has a Little Truth news desk. So we're just going to pick it up. We're going to let the audio take care of itself. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Breaking news has just come across the desk in the Every Joke Has a Little Truth studio. Take it away, Denny.
Thank you, Tabby. There is congratulations finally in order for Miss Jamie with her bling bling.
Yes.
Look at that.
I like dicks.
Mm-hmm.
And you like bling.
And I like bling.
So congratulations.
Thank you. Tell us all
about it.
Caleb finally popped the question.
I cannot believe you told him no.
I did not tell him no.
I mean, she might as well have.
Oh my God. we just don't want to get married right away.
You just wanted
to get
it.
That's not what you said. You said we don't want to get married ever.
You said, now you got to have a wedding.
That's not exactly how that went, but that was the gist.
And I said, I don't know. Maybe.
We're not having a wedding. We're not actually getting married. I just wanted to be engaged. But I do need engagement pictures. Why do you need them? Because I want them.
The weird thing is you want us in the engagement pictures.
No, I don't want you in the engagement pictures. That'd be really weird. But I want to do family pictures. I just feel like, why try to schedule two sets of pictures when we're all together, you know?
Totally agree.
Because we need...
One sitting fee is really what we need.
But,
what's wrong?
I don't know.
Did it get quiet?
Mm-hmm.
That's because I'm adjusting things. I'm trying to make it the perfect sound for you.
Oh, okay. But yes, he proposed to me. We went to the World 100 at the Eldora track, and he took me in front of the Love Tunnel to take a picture, and then he...
He took you where?
In front of the Love Tunnel.
In front of the Love Tunnel.
Yeah, it's this tunnel that goes under the track to the...
Infield. Outfield to infield, right?
Yeah, I said a snake pit, but he told me I'm wrong. Oh, jeez.
I've been really trying, baby.
I want to know if anybody's ever had sex in that tunnel.
Love tunnel.
How do you think it got its name? It's not because lots of people propose there.
There have been some proposals there.
I don't know.
You think you're the first proposal there?
No. So Caleb knows the guy who runs the place, and he's like, I wish I would have known. I would have sent the camera crew down there. I'm like, do you know how many people watch that race? A lot. That would have been awful.
Here's the question. Did you celebrate your time in the tunnel?
No.
Honey, do you think she's lying?
No.
We got home so late. Is that what you're asking me?
No, he was asking about the tunnel.
Yeah.
Didn't do it in the tunnel, no.
Did you do it in the car?
No.
They had other people with them.
We had passengers.
You did it in the car with people in it?
No. Why is this getting weird? Can we introduce Amanda?
No, it's not my turn.
I've already introduced Amanda.
No, you haven't.
to me.
Oh. Wee.
So now that Jamie is not here to defend herself, I can't believe we didn't talk about this when we recorded eventually.
These are the best times.
Not eventually. When we recorded the first time. So the part you're not hearing is not only does Jamie not actually want to get married, but she tried planning her own engagement while not planning her engagement, but still expecting Caleb to do it how she wanted him to do it.
If you followed that.
And it for those almost of you in the ruined back row, the real engagement.
Yeah, Jamie is really good at, hey, I want to be surprised, and the best way to surprise me is to do these 9 steps.
Exactly, in this order.
Or else.
Or it's not a surprise.
And you will ruin everything.
So she was talking to Denny and I about how she was trying to plan her own surprise engagement, but little did she know Caleb already had the surprise down for her.
Cha-ching!
Yep, he's done a pretty good job with this one, I think. We give old Caleb a rough way sometimes, but I don't know. I think he did okay. He did. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, congratulations go out to Jamie, who is not here, and Caleb, who is also not here. And again, you haven't heard Brayden's voice, but maybe for 5 seconds this week.
You won't hear it very much coming up at all.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe.
Maybe that's a good thing. So now we're actually going to get to the
meat of the show.
The meat of the show. And really listen to this, listen to Taryn and kind of her take on things as a parent. And I do want to point out, she's very upfront with us. She even tells us that her ex, they are very close. Even the nanny that they used to have, they are also close.
Also very close.
Because they all...
Co-parent together,
which is weird how that works sometimes. I think I've been down that road once.
It's funny how things have worked out.
Uh-huh. Here we are. So here it is. Here is our conversation with Taryn Sinatra, divorceonadime.com.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
And now, on with the show.
We have a new guest this week, someone that we have never had on the show before. We've had some recurrings.
That's what new guest means.
Oh, that's right. I didn't ask for your opinion, right?
David.
Well, you did, but I don't want it. Nope. Much like our marriage. Yep. Don't want it.
Didn't want it.
No. So anyway, on the phone with us, clear from the southern end. Would it be an end? Southern?
Tip.
South? Yes. Just the tip,
just
huh?
The tip.
From South Florida, it's Taryn Sinatra. Say hello, Taryn.
Hello. Welcome. Thank you guys for having me.
Welcome to the show. You graciously waited on us as we tried to get kids to sleep or to at least...
Stop coughing.
Yeah, well, you're the one coughing.
No, no.
Would you like my drink?
I would.
All right. Pass the drink down, please. So, sorry, Taryn, thank you for being on the show. Clear from Florida, you gave us some extra time. Now, the reason you're on this week is we've been talking to you for a couple of weeks, actually, trying to get you on. And because you have a particularly interesting job for kind of what we're going through and what we talk about on this show. So would you just tell our listeners what it is you do?
So I am a divorce attorney, to put it quickly.
There we go. You and I should be best friends already.
You would have given her like so much
That's
money.
That's the short answer. The long answer is I'm a board certified marital and family law attorney in Florida. I only practice law in Florida. And I only practice in the area of marital and family law. And a lot of people ask me, well, what does that encompass? What does that mean? The big one is divorce, obviously. Mm-hmm. So anything related to divorce, paternity, baby mama drama.
Word. Yeah.
Things like that.
You seem to have, like, I've seen a couple of your videos. I found you on TikTok, and that's where I find a lot of our interesting guests. You're going to rate right up there at the top, I promise you. By the time we're done tonight, people will be talking about you forever. So the one thing that you seem to take a little pleasure in is helping fathers kind of through the system. Is that a fair statement?
It is a fair statement. I'd like to think that any of my colleagues would also find pleasure in helping dads just as much as moms. I just so happened to put a TikTok out there that I guess got some attention. But I do have a soft spot in my heart for dads that just want to be good dads. And
What directed you? What took you that direction? What happened? Was there an event?
So it's funny because I have no like daddy issues of my own, right? I came from a very loving household. My parents are married 40 plus years. They live down the street. We're great. I myself am divorced. And
welcome to the club. To the club.
It's a club. But the smaller club, I think, are the parents like you guys that actually can get along after the divorce. And I'm part of that club, too, I think. I think he'd say the same thing.
Well, you had mentioned while we were talking before we started recording that maybe it would be fun to have him on. He's not a spotlight guy. Great. And, you know, we said, hey, we invite. Absolutely. We want anything like that. So
I think it'd be so cool.
Yeah,
I think that would be great.
This is definitely a growing niche out there. Niche. I mean, you're parenting. Starting to see more of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing it more? We talked to a couple of ladies from your neck of the woods, Moms of Tampa. Have you heard of them on TikTok?
No, so I'm going to find them.
They are two mothers that, you know, hang out. They had baby daddy. Now they hang out a lot together, and they've made a whole event, kind of the same thing we do, except they give it the Florida. You know, they're a little more TikToky than what we are. We aren't very good at the TikToks yet. We try. We're not that creative, Taryn.
I will fly to Indiana and we will make a TikTok.
Oh, let's do it. Brayden, would you like to make a TikTok?
Absolutely.
You would?
I would.
Your first TikTok debut?
Yes.
Brayden would be on TikTok. He would be, I'm getting a divorce and I'm with my divorce attorney that is not my attorney from South Florida.
Yeah.
I think it could work. I see. Something like that.
And then I think Brayden would get a lot of hits.
Oh, yes. Brayden. I've never seen Brayden blush. He's blushing right now.
You got to stop. I'm already sweating. Take it easy. Take it easy. I'm going to pass out.
So let's talk about, give me some story. Make Brayden feel better that what he's going through is just normal shit and somebody out there has had it much worse than him. We talked about somebody that had a little domestic issue, and he was maybe flinging around a part of his body. Maybe he was. And listen.
Do you think he gave her a black eye?
God. Maybe.
I would think if he was doing it right, wouldn't she have a fat lip?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Okay, touche.
I'm just saying.
I'm not often speechless, but
you'll find that a lot around.
Yeah,
here.
On this show. So yeah, go ahead. Tell us something. I know I'm putting you on the spot. Tell us something. Give us a taste.
Yeah, like the war stories. Well, I feel like I say this to every client that comes in, especially the new ones, because they always come in with this like, oh my God, I'm sure this is the craziest. Can I curse on this? Can I say?
Oh my God, please.
I'm sure this is the craziest shit you've ever heard. I'm sure my case is the craziest and this is the worst. And I always tell them, I promise you, there's definitely been worse than your situation.
There's been worse this month.
Because it's true. Nothing really surprises me anymore. Unfortunately, I see some really good people at their worst. Actually, what they say is in criminal law, it's bad people behaving at their best. And in family law, it's good people behaving at their worst.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does.
Kind of is true.
Yeah.
So I think, because just to kind of go back, you were asking me like, what led me to this? So in family law, paternity, father's rights, it always has been a part of my practice. I never was either, you know, more pro mom or more pro dad, but as I've been practicing longer and seeing more, I just started to see, I think a lot of, I would say like injustices, I think for dads, at least the way the Florida law is written currently, especially for dads that are not married to the moms. And I've seen some really sad stuff. I've seen, you know, just, I've got all kinds of stories, but just off the top of my head, you know, a young dad, I don't know how old Braden is, but he was like 22, 23 years old, a first time dad. He got his girlfriend pregnant. They weren't married. And for some reason, she decides we're not going to be together. And I'm going to move clear across the country while I'm pregnant.
Oh,
and
goodness.
Good luck with that. And this kid hired me and we had a whole jurisdiction battle about where should this take place and where should the jurisdiction be. And it just, because the child was born in the other state, that's where the jurisdiction lies. So now he's got to basically fight to get rights and have a long distance parenting plan with this unborn child, and couldn't even find out if the kid was actually his for a long period of time because she was refusing a DNA test. So it's just, there's always worse.
Yeah.
So was it his?
So he ended up, we ended up losing the jurisdiction battle, unfortunately. And so he ended up having to hire another lawyer, spend more money in a different state. And finally, he got the DNA test. And I think he was probably torn about if he was hoping it was or wasn't his kid. And it turns out he called me after and he said, you know, thank you for everything you did that you could try to do. And yes, it is my child. And they're now working on a parenting plan. But unfortunately, it's going to have to be a long distance parenting plan for him. Mm-hmm. My point is he has no legal right to force her back to Florida.
That's insane. So you would think that, I know this is just me thinking perfect world shit, but it was conceived here. You lived here.
Yeah.
You chose to move. And I'm guessing she knew she was pregnant when she moved.
Yeah, she knew.
And she
was a very spiteful move.
Oh, do we know anyone like that? Spiteful?
Well, yeah.
We do?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Me.
True. True. So do you have a lot of people that come back to you and just say, hey, you helped me before. Here's where I'm at now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Do you get a lot of that?
Yeah. Like for just like check-ins?
Yeah.
Like friendly check-ins?
Well, like let's just say a situation like that where, you know, you start out with someone, but for some reason they have to switch attorneys. Do they come back and keep you kind of informed at that point?
I feel like once our job is done, unfortunately, we kind of lose touch.
Yeah.
There's some special clients that do check in, or we kind of keep tabs on. And even if we have to part ways for some reason, we like to see what's happening with the case and what's going on. Oh, mm-hmm. And
do we have another guest?
He wants to say hello. You want to say hi?
Of course.
Okay, he says no.
Oh,
he was all for it. So what happens a lot of times is after the case is over, there's a parenting plan in place or the divorce is done or whatever, then they come back, not just for the check-in, but hey, we need a modification or something's right. Not working, or there's contempt issues. Someone's not following the plan. Mm-hmm. And those are even harder, I think, than the first time around.
Do you know what I find very interesting about you? And it's going to speak to your professionalism, which is really cool. Like, you seem to have a really relaxed demeanor, have a good time, and, you know, you're kind of light and airy, not in a bad way, but just, you don't, you know what I'm saying? But
it's
then when you start talking about this, like, you become a different person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess because I have such a good co-parenting relationship with their dad, mm-hmm. with my kid's dad, my ex. And I really, one of the things I told him when we were going through our divorce is, and if he denies this, I'll kill him, because I actually said this. We are gonna be friends. Mm-hmm. we're going to do whatever it takes to be friends, because I see so much bad shit in my field that I would never want our kids to have to see that or go through that. And the only people that suffer when the parents can't figure it out are the kids.
Fucking amen.
And, and so we, you know, we managed to figure it out, and it hasn't always been easy. Oh, I got some stories, but
hit me with one. Come on.
But I try to keep it light. I get just personality too, I think. Sure. I mean, I'm not really, I'm sure I get judged by some colleagues, for, you know, oh, she puts on these TikToks, or she looks ridiculous, or she's too light and airy, or she doesn't take it seriously. And that's just, you know, unfortunate, but there's always going to be someone that's got an opinion
always.
One way or the other. Amen. It's just my personality. I think I'm called bubbly a lot. Mm-hmm. And I also get questioned like, you're a lawyer? How could you be a lawyer? You're so nice. Like, not all lawyers are
staunch.
I guess what we like, ugly. Picture in our head.
Yeah, I think people. I think people kind of have this connotation of like old school lawyers, real gruff, usually men,
white men in suits.
Yeah, that or really bad floral print. For some reason, it's like one or the other in my head, and they just
or a bad paisley tie.
Yeah, it's awful.
Wait a minute. Time out.
Yeah,
my favorite tie is paisley.
Well,
there's good paisley.
Okay, there is good paisley. All right, thank God. I was nervous for a minute.
It's not yours.
Is it a color?
It's green.
It's red.
Oh, I have a my power tie is red.
Oh, Brayden.
I don't wear ties.
No. Brayden doesn't have a job.
Yes, wait a second. I have two jobs. I got two of them.
So,
but yeah, you're right. It's just this old world way of thinking, like the way a lawyer should be. And I wish you guys could come visit South Florida. You'd see my office. It's beautiful. I'm really proud of it. But yeah, I take more of a, when you're serious, when you need to be serious, you're serious. Of course, there's a time for everything, but I like people to come in and feel a little bit better than when, you know, leaving than when they first come in. And I feel like just, it's a conversation. You have to gel with your client and your
totally
lawyer.
Agree.
It's a very intimate kind of relationship.
Totally agree.
Yeah, I think it's really important, especially being in marital and family. Like, there's nothing that sets people on edge more than feeling like their family or what they perceive as their life and the people around them are in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. So they are super vulnerable and super defensive when they come in and talk to you. So if you're just, I don't know, this like stiff board of unemotion professionalism, they're not going to be able to open up to you and feel like you're actually taking care of their interests.
Go ahead. And I'll
it's,
let you
it's
respond.
Just that like reading your audience that we were talking about before too. You know, there are some, some clients, they're all business. You know, you try to bring a little appropriate levity to loosen them up a little bit. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And then you have other, you know, clients that, they want to know if, you know, we can go hang out after the consultation.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine you probably run into that a little bit, too. So when you're working with a client and you're trying to get them to relax, is it, you know, is it usually just a well-placed joke that will get you there? How do you, what's kind of a, what roadmap do you use? Is it the same, or how do you get a man or a woman that's coming in, sitting across from you, how do you get them to open up and A, tell you about pretty intimate details of their life, and B, be honest with you about shit that they're probably not doing that's right? You see what I'm saying? Because
yeah,
most of the time...
it's such a good question that I guess I've never really given much thought to, because it just kind of happens. Like the same way that you hosting a podcast and you bring in your speakers, like you just kind of... go off
flow.
Each other. I feel like that's what happens in the initial meeting. And I'll be honest, after COVID, it changed a lot how we do things. It used to be before COVID, everything was just an in-office meeting. And now it's really changed. So much of the initial consults are by phone. It's really changed, or Zoom. But I like to have that face-to-face time. And I feel like if they're going to hire me after a 15-minute phone call, great. But you need to come in. I want to see who I'm working with.
Right.
And, you know, we want to, it's like I said, it's a very personal relationship. I don't know. Some people are just willing to, some people come in and just spill the beans and they just go and they don't shut up. And I have to really kind of like redirect them a little bit, you know, otherwise they'll talk, we'll talk for 5 hours.
Mm-hmm. But don't worry, they'll pay you for none of it. You'll get paid for none of that time. When, what has been like, what has been something that you've been proud of that you've, you know, a parent comes in or someone just getting a divorce, maybe not even a parent, but they come in and they feel hopeless. Mm-hmm. But by the time you're done with them, they come out better than they ever expected. Do you have an experience like that?
I have two right off the top of my head that I would love to share with you. And these are hard cases. Like that's the thing. As much levity or light as I, you know, might seem or bring to the table, these are really, some of these cases are very heavy. Mm-hmm. And sad. So, there's actually three I'm thinking of. The first would be, and these are all men, right? Men clients for me. And I'm not doing that on purpose. It just so happens. Cause there's, you know, the moms too, or the wives.
There is still, and sorry to interrupt, but there is still a stigma that in a divorce, mm-hmm. like it's you against the world as a man, you know what I mean? And no matter what, you're the asshole that did it wrong. Mm-hmm. Right. Except for me. I was just fine. I was but like, so when you go into, especially as a man, you just expect to get fucked. You know what I mean?
I don't, I'm not sure why that is, because I feel like, at least in Florida, we're not, and I'm kind of going off into a different subject now, but we're not quite yet a true 50-50 state when it comes to timeshare. So I think, and child support, right, is just a calculation. It's just based on income.
God.
I have a client right now. She is the ex-wife, and she pays her ex-husband child support. So it's not gender bias, but there is this stigma. There's this way of thinking like it is. It's like the man against the world. But I'm not quite sure why it's still looked at that way. There are so many guys that I'll come into contact with just in like conversation, whatever. And they're like, oh yeah, the guys always get screwed. Mm-hmm. And I know that personally to not be the case. Mm-hmm. And I hate that men are still seeing it that way.
Yeah, I think it's just the moment that they get in and they just, you know, again, vulnerability. Men usually just see things in a win or lose, all or nothing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so if they can't just come out and sweep and win, well, then, you know, I must be getting fucked. So
and I'm sure that there are still some states that are more.
I feel like we are. I mean, especially being like Midwest, things are still. Like mm-hmm. somewhat
a little more conservative.
They're more conservative,
the more traditional way, right? You know, like women are not as progressive,
right? Yeah. Women are better caretakers, so you know the mother must be the right, and that's not. I mean, that's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So back to your story.
Yeah.
Back,
so there's back. One. There's one that I just would love to share. And he was never married to the mom, and they had a parenting plan. It was not during my involvement in the case.
he can pop in anytime. It's okay.
Before my involvement, they have a parenting plan for, I think he was, maybe must have been, he was young, like 1 year old. And so dad comes to me and he says, I need to get a restraining order basically for me and my son. I get the details, what happens. And you never know what's going to come out of someone's mouth, mm-hmm. right? I get all kinds of requests and I'm like, yeah, you know, that's not a domestic violence case. Like someone calling you an idiot and, you know, telling you to go suck a hey.
Love you. Beat it.
You're not gonna get that money we talked about.
Taryn paid off her children for the interview tonight.
I'm proud.
That's better than what we did.
And we threatened the older children about the younger ones. So
he proceeds to tell me this story that I just can't believe. And if I showed you the pictures, you wouldn't believe it. The mom had a pretty bad drug substance abuse. Something was going on with her issue. Dad sense that she was under the influence and didn't feel comfortable with her picking the child up from daycare. He goes to pick him up. She had already gotten him. Dad's driving down the street to try to follow, make sure that, you know, she's safe. He calls the police. She's driving erratically with the baby in the car. They eventually stop. He gets out of the car, gets the baby, puts him in the front seat to wait for the police. She proceeds to intentionally drive her truck into their truck from the front.
Oh, no.
Then she goes to the back and rear ends him on purpose. So she hits them twice on purpose.
With the baby in the car.
With the baby not in a car
seat. Baby in the car, in the front seat, because he was just holding the baby waiting for the cops. Sure. Thank God the airbag didn't go off. He probably would have died. And she got arrested. She's on probation still to this day. It was basically looked at as attempted murder with a deadly weapon.
With a vehicular.
And I'm not proud to say that in that case, I got, you know, a situation where the mom doesn't get to see her child. It's terrible. It's heartbreaking.
Sure.
But that was a really desperate dad who's like, I'm just trying to protect my son. And what do I need to do here? So it was the first time ever that I had gotten a domestic violence injunction granted where mom was indefinitely not able to have any contact with the child.
Well,
and then I had that case for a while. She came back. She tried to get it modified. She was actually given the opportunity to do like supervised visitation. Mm-hmm. And she never even took the opportunity. So
it's unbelievable to me. You know, kind of shift gears on you just a little bit here, but Audrey, our shared daughter, what's your name again?
Jamie.
Jamie and I had Audrey. She had cancer. She had leukemia. And you telling that story about a parent that, you know, goes a little bit, you know, through the race just to not see the child. And when we were walking through the halls of these hospitals while Audrey was in the hospital, so many times you would see kids in a room with no one else in it. And you know what I mean? It's horrible what parents will do or not do for their kids. And it's also horrible, honestly, how parents will use their children as pawns.
Yes.
Right? We're kind of experiencing that a little bit right now with Braden.
Yes, sir.
And like he, you know, you probably see a lot of, you know, gameplay with children and, you know, hey, you can't see them this weekend now because you've pissed me off. You know what I mean? Do you ever foresee any changes coming to help stave that type of behavior off?
I wish I could say yes.
Oh, shit.
The problem with that is it's an enforcement issue. And judges hate that, first of all. If the judges can get, if they get wind of that, the game playing, using the children, the good judges, and we have a lot of them down here, will give the parents a talking to, a very stern kind of cautionary speech, if you will, to warn them that that's not going to be tolerated. But then you get into these situations where, okay, so now you've got a parenting plan, a timeshare arrangement, and ultimately, in so many cases, one parent is going to play games, withhold the child, not tell them where the child is, or, you know, make up reasons. And then with COVID, oh, we had so many wacky things going on with COVID, and
just, I can only imagine.
It's so obvious. Mm-hmm. And then it's really just a matter then of going back in front of the judge on contempt and enforcement, maybe a modification of the timeshare, depending on how bad the situation is. But I don't know how you could like preemptively
stop it,
prevent that, right? You can just, you try your best, you hope and you pray.
Yeah.
It should be like a, you know, so, you know, you are the custodial parent, but it's 50-50. You are the custodial parent. Here's your timeshare plan. You decide to change this and the other party doesn't agree, like, you don't have the initial say anymore. Like, it should just right away go to the other parent. Well, let's see if you can do any better. That's how I feel. Like, why drag it, keep dragging it out and letting the, you know, woman or man who's ever playing the games keep going with it? I've never.
So what you're saying, what you're suggesting is if there is a
dispute,
if there's a dispute and the judge looks at it and says, yes, person A is playing a game. So now we're going to take the kids from person A and give them to person B.
Well, I mean, it's still 50-50, but let's see if you can communicate, you can do the things the better. Correct way and communicate better.
Boy, that would be a slippery slope.
It's funny. So in Florida, again, this is where I practice. We don't really have the terminology custodial parent, primary parent anymore. They basically abolished that language. Really? And all we have now is this parenting plan. And the two major prongs that come with that parenting plan are how you're going to make decisions about the child and how you're going to timeshare the child. And to your point, the decision making, right? Or like, who's going to call the shots?
Yeah.
In most cases, I think it's safe to say, in most cases, it is what we call shared parental responsibility. So the parents are obligated to talk to each other and try to make decisions together. Major things, like not, you know, what kind of toothpaste is a kid going to use every night, but big things.
Does he need to have this surgery?
I think we should make him a Jehovah's Witness.
Oh God! I'm like, what?
I think that would be a big decision.
Religion is a slippery slope.
Boy, is it?
Jeez,
Let me talk about another slippery slope.
Here we go.
This goddamn child support thing. Like, are they ever going to get child support figured out to where it's totally fair for everyone? Now, right now, as an attorney, you are sitting over there thinking, well, tell me what you think is fair for everyone. I were on the stand, that's exactly what you would say to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Describe to me what a fair child support order would look like, Mr. Bruins. Mm-hmm. And I would say, fuck, I don't know. Whatever makes me pay the least, okay? That's what's fair. But I understand, because of course, Taryn, you probably hear 6 times a week about, well, I pay child support and it pays for her hair, her nails, her car, her everything. But we all really know it goes to a portion of the household expenses, right? All of that.
Oh, come on. What some people pay in child support is stupid.
I know. And I wish that I could stop paying.
You mean too low?
Too high.
Too high.
Yeah.
So let's talk through that. What do you mean?
Well, because
I think Taryn disagrees.
Well, I mean,
and it's okay. Well, that's why we're talking.
But it's all relative. It's all relative. You know, and that's why it's based on income.
All right. Let me ask a question about that. Okay. So let me give you an example. Jamie and I are married, and I make, let's say, $50,000 a year. Okay. And Jamie makes, I don't know, $11 an hour. No, I'm just kidding. She also makes $50,000 a year. So let's just say together our household income is $100,000. We get a divorce. She takes her $50,000 and meets a man, and he makes $200,000. So now their household income is $250,000. My household income is $60,000, and I have to pay child support. Now, these numbers are totally false, and all of this is made up. Will we ever get to a system where household income matters and parental income is not the only number? And do you think we should?
Oh, gosh. These are such great questions.
Listen to that. Hey, hold on. I have good questions, Dan. I've been divorced 3 motherfucking times. I can ask
you. You should have good questions.
And how That's much right, child right. support
he's
do you pay?
He's got all the questions.
He should have figured it out by
now. Now, to be fair, Jamie and I share custody. Whenever something needs paid, either way, we don't have a support between us. We are each other's support. So everything I'm saying here, you know, for an example wise, is false.
Yeah.
But there was a time where we didn't get along and
you didn't pay me child support.
I would have.
But you didn't.
Well, it's because you never have. Bitchy and I didn't want to. But anyway, so do you see my point?
I do see the point. But I don't know. I don't personally, and I don't really know that I have a reason for this. It's just kind of my feeling. I think you're so far away from the legislature ever changing the law to mean that we're going to base it on household income. Because the way that the law looks at it really is, It's the child's money. It's not for the parents, which is why child support really can't be waived. You can do things to kind of even it out and manipulate the numbers. And
are we going to jail because I don't pay child support?
But
and she agreed it.
They don't really look at it as like you can waive it because it's not for the parents. It's for the kids.
But how do you enter into, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have a question. I don't want to forget it. How do you enter into an agreement that isn't part of the child support calculation? Because that happens. Does it happen in Florida?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if it's the child's money and you can't look at the house, then how can you go to the court and say, look, she and I have talked about it? Because I raised both of Braden and his brother from the time they were, you know, 2 and 1. I had custody of them, and I never took a cent from their mother, ever. Mm-hmm. So, like, and that I remember that being a part of the agreement that had to be written in, which I'm the one that offered it to her so I could have them.
Yeah.
But if it's the child's money, and I don't know, just, I'm sorry, I'm rambling, but do you get my point?
No, I know what you're saying. So, again, this is where it all comes down to numbers, and we can take the numbers and kind of like manipulate them a little bit so that the, because we have got what's called guidelines in Florida, probably what you guys have in your state. Mm-hmm. It's a formula. It's not like we're just pulling numbers out of the air.
It's plugged in. I feel like it's too like straightforward though.
Well, it is. And they do that though, so that there's less discretion amongst the parties and the courts to just pull out numbers out of thin air, much like we do in Florida on alimony, which is a whole other issue.
Oh my God. There's no formula for alimony. Thank God.
Currently there's no alimony formula, and it's a disaster because you can ask 5 different judges, what should the number be? And you'll get 5 different answers.
Oh,
so unlike alimony, child support is meant to be very calculated. Mm-hmm. And therefore we hope that creates prevents so much litigation on that issue. But we can still kind of work around certain things, like if dad's going to pick up the cost of other things, then we'll give him a credit or a set off. There's so many different ways you can kind of figure it out to put into an agreement so that the judge or the court will accept it. Mm-hmm. If you can come up with an agreement on your own as far as what the number should be. To answer your question about the household, no, because, and I'm just taking my personal situation, for example, my ex lives with a woman. I'm laughing.
Uh-huh. Keep going.
I'm laughing because I feel like I should tell you the rest because you guys are just going to get a hoot and a holler out of it.
You have to tell it. Come on.
So my ex, who I'm great friends with, I would do anything in the world for him. And I think he feels the same for me.
Until he hears this podcast.
He is, so he lives and he's been in a relationship with the same woman for the last 4 years. And she was our nanny.
Oh boy. What a coinky dink.
I wasn't your fucking nanny.
You were the
babysitter.
Kick-ass babysitter. So, we could cuss and listen to whatever music we wanted to.
She's great. I have, you know.
I mean, of course she's great. You hired her once.
Right?
Yeah. And everybody was like, did you kick her ass when you found out? And this, I said, no. My first thought was, oh my God, where am I going to get a great nanny? Like, she's great. They're great together. And they live together. I'm solo here. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I would feel right about saying, okay, well, we're going to use her income now to tack on to yours. They're not her kids. It's not.
But doesn't she assume like responsibility in raising them though, if they're together?
To cut in and say, but you kept talking over me.
Oh, sorry. I'm in trouble now. I'm in trouble.
I think there are, while it seems odd to us in our situation, there are several families, especially when people are in like the dating stage and not actually married, that they're like, no, that is your kid and it's your financial responsibility. So even though they may be living together as boyfriend, girlfriend, if it's dad's kids or whatever, he pays more for groceries, or, you know, he pays for just their clothes. That comes out of his money. That's not like their money. And there's a lot of couples now, especially like younger generations, that are split finances. Like even mm-hmm. in couples, like it's his and her money, not our money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's true.
But if let's say we have a relationship and you're living, I die.
If we have a relationship.
Well, let's say we're married. Why are you clapping at the idea that I'm dead?
Oh, that was fun.
Why do you do this to me?
I don't know.
Anyway, can we get back to the podcast?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say that we're... What do you need?
I need that book.
Which book?
Just any book.
Any book. She's going to fan herself and hit the mic 25 times.
Oh, you're hot?
I'm about to pass out.
Switch the fan to yourself.
That's what we've been doing.
Is it not working?
And then you looked under there, and then I thought...
Well, I was trying to move it to... Sorry, this is like a break. Right now, Taryn's saying, what in the fuck is happening?
Tiny production meeting.
Yeah. Do you move the fan? Do you need to move the fan?
Yeah, but I don't want to, like...
Well, turn it to... I can get rid of the noise.
Amanda, I don't want
to... I'm fine.
When you got that book going the first time, it sounded like a big-ass bird was in here.
Well, now it does. God, what is that?
Anyway, what were you saying?
I'm so sorry.
Well, hold on. We really need you to be comfortable, so whatever you got to do, get comfortable.
I know. I'm trying. I'm doing it.
Is the air on you?
Yes.
Okay. Every joke has a little truth.
Fuck off.
Studio. All right. I think I forgot my goddamn question.
It was super riveting.
No, you know, you
we were
you
talking
and
about
her
shared
are married.
Shared income.
You died.
That's right. Okay. There is a trust. Oh, yeah. Let's say that I die, and I've left her a trust, or I've left something, and if she remarries... It goes away.
I'd be a dickhead move.
Well, no. That's how it is.
Huh?
Like, yeah. So if you die and you have Social Security, or your
the
wife
kids get it,
or somebody gets Social Security, when you get remarried, not when you're dead, the other one, then it stops. It goes away. You see what I'm saying?
The kids still get it.
But what I'm saying is when we're going to change the world here, Taryn. I just want you to know this. When they get married, they assume the responsibilities of the other person, including the children, to some degree. Now, the other parent should still pay child support, but I just feel like it should abate by some amount. Because
it should be modified, reduced based on their household.
Based on their household, because like I said, there could be a dad that just, you know, he looks forward to having his kids, but he can't do shit with them because he's giving, you know, $400 a week of his $900 paycheck to, you know, his ex-wife and her new husband that live in the Hamptons. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That's fair.
Yeah. Well,
thank you, Braden.
Because she doesn't work.
You're welcome.
Well, no, even if she does work, either way.
Yeah, oddly, not working doesn't
necessarily
help you.
And am I right when
you.
I say this, Taryn? The mother not working actually goes against her versus working. Is that right?
I believe that.
Yeah.
I one of my TikToks is, you know, if you're going to ask for alimony and child support, go get a job.
Oh yeah.
For the
yeah.
love of God, yes.
Now, yeah. you know, there are women, and this is again, these are hot topics. Women, mostly women, that maybe there was an agreement in the marriage that she's not going to work when they have the kids, mm-hmm. right? And then you've got someone who hasn't worked for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And how do they go back out into the workforce in the divorce process now? It's not an easy thing, especially if they're a little older. It's not impossible, but it's harder. But I'm a firm believer that if you're able-bodied, and I think the judges look at it this way too.
Sure they do.
And that's part of, you know, my job and our jobs as lawyers is we do this thing called impute income to people. Like, you don't have to go work, but we're probably going to treat you like you make something. Mm-hmm. We never use $0. Mm-hmm.
Which is lovely.
So we got to figure out how we're going to treat you. Like, what is your earning potential? And it might be $10 an hour minimum wage, or it might be $40,000 a year. We, you know, we have to figure that out. But yes, it's never a good look,
right?
Because in court, sometimes
perception matters. Whether mm-hmm. you want to think that or not, sometimes mm-hmm. how the judge, you know, and that's part of your job is to paint a picture, right? Mm-hmm. Theater of the mind, whatever. Paint the picture about the person sitting in that chair, mm-hmm. and if you do a good enough job, then mm-hmm. it happens. So
you would owe
I have
me so
client,
much money.
I have, she was married for 17 years, and she didn't work. she raised the kids, and he was always the provider, and he provided well. Then in the divorce, she's now like, I need a job. Yeah. She's one of those women that's like, she actually was okay with the concept of, I got to go get a job. I haven't worked in 15 years. I don't really know what my skill set is, but I got to go get a job. And that's just, it's going to be imputed to you anyway. Some amounts you're going to be treated as if you're making something, whether it's for alimony purposes or child support purposes.
Mm-hmm. Damn it. I was going to quit my job and make you pay child support.
Well, don't worry. Amanda already did.
Oh boy.
I have this thing. Amanda worked the whole time we were together, and I just say she slept herself into unemployment by having children with me.
Two, back to back.
Two of them.
It wasn't worth it for me.
She can't keep her hands off
me. I'll go to work.
Anyway.
I don't know. You really got me thinking about this household.
See?
Question.
See? I'm telling you, there's something there.
I'm going to have to like really think on this and come back to do a follow-up.
It's interesting.
I don't know. I'm trying to think if I brought somebody into my home, I was married, or even like, you know, you were saying a boyfriend. I don't know that I feel right about saying, well, we're going to use our collective income now to figure out what should child support be. Because
look at it this way. This person lives with you. Now, it's not like when they move in 2 weeks later, you guys, you know, hey, by the way, let me see your W-2s.
Right.
You know, but it certainly could be, hey, you know.
We're getting married. Do you know that this is going to change?
Or we started sharing a bank account. Or, hey, this is Jimmy. Jimmy's going to be at the school to pick, you know, little John up every week, every other day. Well, wait a minute. He's taking an active role in the child's life. He's taking an active role in raising the child. Why shouldn't there be some sort of, you know, why does the dad or the mom, doesn't matter, either way, why doesn't the other parent get the benefit of, you know, sharing the parental role? You know, maybe it's one of those deals.
So in your scenario, your argument, which I think, you know, there's something to it. My ex and the nanny. They could be paying me child support.
Oh boy.
Because if they're gonna look at their income collectively, right? I'm just one person.
That's right.
You just ruined their friendship.
I just don't know if I'm okay with that.
So
I'm hearing you. But I feel like that's the way it would be looked at. But no, what's interesting is if you're getting alimony in Florida, and for most, there's different types of alimony, but for certain types of alimony, it ends for the person getting it.
If they remarry,
it ends. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same argument, I think, that you're, it's like.
It is because you are, like, if they go to buy a house together, their shared income.
I mean, the idea of child support is to maintain, because we're talking about it's money for the child. It's
the
to maintain the child's standard of what living that they had before. So why would they not look at what their standard of living is collectively? I mean, I think it makes sense. So in Indiana, we had our situation. Braxton's biological father didn't pay child support for a really long time.
So time out. Braxton was Amanda's son when we got married. He's now my stepson, and I'm the father in his life. He's never had another. So
yeah.
That's a story.
He's never been around, but he wasn't paying child support when it was just me and Braxton, and we were really struggling, and it was a super hard time. But then fast forward to now, Denny and I are married, and I actually like went to him, and he was trying to pay up on there's so much back child support. I was like, look, let's just change your child support to actively zero, so everything that you're paying is on arrears. And we signed it, we sent it in, and judge denied it and called us back to a hearing and said, no, you have to be actively paying child support, even knowing that our household income was now more. And I mean, I did that because he was struggling. He was going through stuff.
You were trying to be fair.
Right. And
trying to be more than fair.
We have an arrangement where, you know, Denny's going to end up adopting Braxton, and we've kind of worked through all of that. And that's what both of us wanted. It was better for him. It's better for us. It's better for Braxton. But the court said, no, there has to be something as active child support being paid, which didn't make any sense to me.
And that number really couldn't be manipulated. It had to be a certain, because like our thought was, all right, it's $75 arrears, $1 current.
Right. That's what I tried to make it, that he was just paying everything towards, you know, what was owed from when I was struggling and nothing was paid. And instead they said, no, you can't do that.
I think that if we allowed that in the court system in that situation, like if we allowed more of that or wrote it into law that way, it'd be a slippery slope. Like so many people would just, for the sake of being done with somebody, let them off the hook with child support.
And then the concern would be that they would come back later and say, well, I'm struggling. And then they would go on assistance and that type of stuff.
There's that. But then it's also, I think, again, the way that the system looks at it is like, but this is for the kids, right? No one's really able to say, like, we're just going to, you know, we're going to wash your hands clean of this. These kids deserve that money.
That's what the judge was saying, is that, well, no, you have to pay something for this child. And I'm like, but our household income is more than what his household income is. So let's...
Considerably.
Yeah, and let's not make it harder.
We don't need it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so let's...
Like when his money comes, it's very sporadic, but when it comes, it's extra. Like, we're like, oh, cool, go put gas in the car.
You know, use it for Braxton, for what wasn't paid from before. And that's kind of how we look at it. And that's why I want, yes, the arrears to be paid, but nothing currently active or, you know, from where our situation is now moving forward. And the judge said, no, you can't do that.
How much?
That's why I think the household income needs to be factored.
How much money comes in for the child that actually goes to the child? What do you think that ratio really 15% is?
That comes up a lot from the dads. Yeah. You know, like, how do I know what she's spending how she's spending the money? And I always tell them, like, you're not going to get an accounting. You're not going to know. It's not going to be put in separate jars in the house. And, you know, this jar is going to be used for her, you know, shopping spree at Saks. And this jar is going to be used for shoes for Jimmy.
Yeah.
Little Jimmy. It doesn't work that way.
What I always told people was, like, so when people would bitch, you know, oh, she's using this to get her hair done or her nails done or whatever, that's fine. She can use that money to go and pay for her nails to be done.
She better be paying her rent, too.
Because her rent is due on the first of the month. Your child support is not due on the first of the month. It comes every Friday or every other Friday. And so I've always argued that you can't say, oh, well, yeah, my child support went in. She went and got her nails done because she used her money to pay everything else. Yours is extra because she can't rely on it. But we are seeing a flip side of it where nails are done, eyelashes are done, eyebrows are done. I don't know. There's like some big giant tooth in the middle.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. But
she's
also bitching.
That just became very, very close to home, Taryn. So.
But she's also saying, I can't afford to pay anything, but, you know, I don't have anything but hot dogs to feed the kids.
There's definitely women. I've seen it firsthand. There's definitely the women, girls, whatever, that.
Girls.
That's how they live, is off the support.
Yeah.
From the dads.
Yeah.
What do you see in the court systems, though, to help with? So, for example, you've got someone who's paying child support to the mother, and she's just constantly saying, I don't have enough money for the kids. I can't feed them nutritious meals. I can't pay rent. I can't pay this. Is there, like, do the courts look at that and say, okay, well, with child support, if you still can't afford it, then they need to go to the other parent? Is it looked at like that?
No, not at all. They're never, because that's like a punishment for someone not being able to go and earn more money if they're not, you know, if someone's not,
I guess, when
capable
they're
of making a certain amount, they don't want to punish them for. Now, there's all these other factors, like you have to be able to provide, you know, a stable home environment and a certain, you know, proper accommodations. And we have to make sure that the children are not neglected in any way.
Sure. I don't mean someone who earns less necessarily. I guess I needed to clarify that. But somebody who is financially irresponsible. Is there any way to prove, like, they're choosing to spend money on things that they shouldn't be spending money on when they're telling you that they're not taking care of their kids?
I think that's a fine line. Like, if you can prove that they're spending on other things before applying for their children's basic needs.
You'll never get there.
Yeah.
I think it depends on like what extent are the children suffering? Is there food in the fridge? Do they have clothing? Yeah, it's a hard.
Can I tell you a funny story, Taryn? Can I tell you a very funny story? Because you just grabbed my attention with that. So I will give you a little glimpse into our situation. So when Braden was living here and he has two beautiful young boys from the relationship, and as an attempt to get at him, mom called a Child Protective Services case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you've heard this a million times, right? Mm-hmm. He comes in, he admits immediately, unfounded, whatever. And then he has to walk through the house and he looks, which I'm cool with, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then he takes us in and makes us flush our toilets.
Running water.
Yep, do they that? Yep, yes. In Florida? Like, you have to, hey, okay, yeah. Flush that toilet. Really? There's nothing in there. Can I?
Luckily, I've never had DCF, Department of Children and Families, come to my home.
Well, don't piss off the neighbor.
I've had lots of clients that have dealt with it.
Because it's part of that. It's part of that pissed off mom.
Yeah, I've had horrible allegations. I had the other story I was going to try to tell you if it wasn't too late is about a client that was being accused of inappropriately touching his 6-year-old daughter, the father. The mother was accusing the father of touching the daughter. All unfounded, but. The it was painstaking what they had to go through to get to that, and more so what the child had to go through to get to that. But the point is we see so many cases involving DCF, Department of Children and Families, or Child Protective Services, and what they're really there to do is to see if there's any evidence of the child that is being abandoned, neglected, or abused. Mm-hmm. And the first thing they do that I'm told is they open the fridge. Is there food?
Yeah.
Is there running water?
Catch you later.
Yeah.
Thanks for opening the door. Well, come on. But I mean, they're overworked because of these type things. Those people aren't making a lot of money. You know what I mean?
It's definitely a broken system. I mean, DCF, they're there for the right reasons, but it's definitely not a perfect system. If you guys haven't seen it, I saw the most horrifying documentary called The Trials of Gabriel.
Yeah, that's some of the where I couldn't finish an episode.
It was so hard to watch, but that is a perfect example. That was in California, I think.
Yeah, and the documentary wasn't as bad as the shit that was on the internet about it, because when I started the episode, I couldn't finish it, and then it was a real big deal, and I had to like stay off Facebook for like a week because there was so much shit just talked about it, and it was
they made
this little boy stand in a pool, and only his head was above water, and they just made him do it for hours.
Yeah, but that's an example of like DCF is there for the right reasons, but it's definitely a broken,
misused,
abused.
Yeah, and they can't always figure it out or save the ones they need to save. But there's also the situations where there's allegations just being flung around that have no merit, and it's just for using the kids as pawns and playing the games that we were talking about. And
So we had you on the podcast to have a good time, and we've made you work the entire time.
We've made her brain like,
I know she has been like a
Friday night, guys.
That's where, So here's my, I'm going to let you off the hook soon, but I do have to lighten it up a little bit. You're obviously out there on social media. This is going to be awkward for me to ask. When men come in and consult with you, do you find that sometimes they're intimidated by you?
That's not the question.
That is the
question.
Well, it's question. Yeah, what do you think I was going to ask?
Something super inappropriate.
Well, I'm getting there. That's next.
Nothing's off the table. I don't know if they are. I wouldn't.
Come
if they're
on.
Intimidated, You know what would be funny? If I had my staff answer this question, because mm-hmm. the girls in my office see things that maybe I'm not perceiving a certain way, or maybe I'm just...
Yes.
So next podcast.
Yeah. So they would relish in it.
We need to make that happen. We need to make
insane.
That happen.
They're insane. They're great. They're so much fun. But for sure, there's been comments, you know, like, oh, he was definitely.
Oh, yeah. And does it get old?
It's just, I don't really think about it. I mean, I don't think about it. It's more like a little awkward when the client tries to like ask you out afterwards. Or
I'm going through a divorce, baby. You know what I mean? I got like 3 kids. That's it.
I just told you all the bad shit. Want to have
you
a
know,
drink?
You know all my baby mama drama. There's nothing else.
I got nothing but to hide, know, baby.
The flip to that is, I think as I've gotten older, because I'm going to be 43 this month. And
no
I
way.
I think it's finally like not really as much of an, well, that's not true. Going back to the way people kind of envision lawyers, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They in their mind, they see us as like a certain type. Mm-hmm. And the flip to what you were asking is sometimes people don't take you seriously. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask that next, honestly.
Yeah. I don't think that that's really, I don't think it's the case for me anymore. I mean, I've been doing this on my own for since 2010.
Okay.
I've been practicing since 2005. I started out as a prosecutor, not a prostitutor.
Boy, I'll tell you, the way you said that at first, I was like, I'm sorry, what? Could you run that back? But I bet you heard that a lot, didn't you?
Yeah, I hear that all the time.
Yep.
So I feel like I've been doing it long enough and I've established a reputation for myself, and you know, it's just word of mouth, and then, you know, having a presence online, obviously, of course, in this day. But I think that there's still for sure like this there's certain people, there's certain clients that they want. They just want the stuffy white male lawyer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's what they want.
Yep.
And they would look at somebody like me or my female colleagues that maybe, you know, whatever, and they don't see us as that
that
able
strong
yeah.
team. Yeah.
Yeah. I will tell you from my perspective, I would take you above almost anybody else.
Oh, 100%.
And I'll tell you why. Because, no, it's not because you're pretty and 43 years old or 42 years. It's none of that.
That's why I was going to take her.
That's why you would take her?
Mm-hmm.
Jamie's a
beautiful.
Lesbian.
No, I'm
I
not.
I just wanted you to know that. No, I'm just kidding. But she, but no, like you can tell if I could sit across from somebody and have a conversation with them that I felt like I connected.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much difference, but mm-hmm. there's a side B to that with you, Taryn, in that because they feel like they connect with you, they think they can reach you at all times, right?
Yeah. Most of my clients have my cell phone.
Oh my God.
Years ago, I was like, they're never going to have it. They're never going to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's really hard. I mean, I do a lot of work from the car, remotely, from the house. I'm using my cell phone, and I'm not, if someone's going to abuse it, I'll usually have
out.
A conversation. I'll tell them. Mm-hmm. I'll tell them, you know, certain things need to be in an email. The whole staff needs to be copied. And if I just stop responding, it's probably not that
message.
Urgent. And I have, you know, I have a life too. I'm a single mom. I have kids. But we're in a day where everybody wants everything like this.
Yep.
Like yesterday.
Yep.
And that it is hard to keep up sometimes. But I think it's when I really love my job the most is when I feel like I connected with somebody. And most people are not going to hire me if they don't feel a connection.
Totally
I mean,
agree.
I wouldn't.
I totally agree.
So that's the thing. Like if it's just a phone call or an in-person meeting, it's just the flow of the conversation. And I feel like one of my mentors from a while back, he always talked about emotional intelligence. And you know, I may not be the most intellectual person on the planet or the smartest. I think I'm good at what I do. I love being in the courtroom. I prefer to settle cases for the clients because I don't ever want to. To me, it's like playing Russian roulette.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never know what people are going to do. You can't control that. Yeah.
I don't want to gamble with someone's family or money or kids. But if I have to, I'll go to court. But I think more than that, it's the emotional intelligence, being able to read somebody, be an empath, to understand what they're going through and make them feel comforted, like you're going to be there for them and they can call you. And so I take pride in that.
You should. You should.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you one more question before we go. Will you come on again?
I would love to.
Because we
you
have,
guys are fun.
It's been 200 degrees. Jamie's trying to fan herself in the studio. And we have only scratched the surface of what to offer.
Denny's been rapid fire questions over there.
I know. I've controlled the whole thing, and I'm sorry. But really.
So we'll have to have her on at least two more times because her ex-husband has to come on.
There's definitely a lot to cover.
And we just, I told you when I invited you on the show, we go, 30, 45 minutes to an hour, sometimes longer. And we're there.
Why do you keep telling people
that? Yeah, what is that?
If I said, hey, Taryn, could you give me 2 hours on a Friday night? What do you think she's going to say? Fuck off. No.
So you just bait and switch people?
Yes.
Well, because this is her decision. Now she's not saying, hey, can you guys please let me go?
Right.
So I shame her into
she's
staying
like,
on
okay,
with us.
I only have to give them 30 minutes, but if I like them, then...
Right, they can get a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's cool. I like this. This is such a different forum for me. It's so unlike what I get to do on a normal basis. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great.
And we got to have your staff on and your ex-husband.
I think we should do that, Taryn. I really do, because your story is so fun and unique. And like you are creating a bigger presence online. And it's funny to see it because you can tell you're becoming more comfortable with it, which is really cool. So like your TikToks and the stuff you've got on Instagram, it's really fun to kind of watch you work through that. And when someone wants me to be a bulldog on Sunday, that stuff just cracks me up. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's real, and that's what I love about you.
Think that's great. I love the feedback because I feel like I'm still getting into the whole TikTok scene, and you never know what someone's gonna say about it or what they're gonna think about it. And especially it's a very small legal community here in South Florida. And I had to just kind of say, fuck it. Like, I don't really care.
Right.
I am who I am. And there's a little bit of lightheartedness to it. I try to put some actual, helpful tips and things like that too. When I did the one with the father's rights, I was like, I don't know what people are going to say about this. And I couldn't believe
the outpouring,
what a nerve I hit with the father's rights. And it made me realize like, wow, there's a lot of fathers out there that are feeling a certain type of way that they want to have a conversation.
You're totally right. And you give them the forum to do it. Next, if you could just figure out household income on child support, you will be golden. Okay. Any last questions for Taryn before we let her go? Jamie, anything?
No, I don't want to keep her any longer. And so we'll have to have her on again because Amanda and I probably have.
They have been staring at me the entire time with just giving me daggers. Because
my ex gets the kids tomorrow. He's going to be pissed. Like, why are they so tired? Oh, because they went to bed at midnight because I was on a podcast talking about you and the nanny.
On that note, we are going to let you go. Thank you so much. Taryn Sinatra. Taryn, where do we find you online?
You can go to, what is it? _ divorce on a dime for TikTok.
Nice.
And there you can see my link tree and find my personal Instagram, Taryn Sinatra. You can find, what is it? Oh God, SinatraLegal.com. And you'll find me.
See, all this other stuff, you're great. And then when you're on the spot, you're like, shit, what is it?
I know. You find me.
That's how I am.
Taryn Sinatra, thank you again so much for coming on. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye.
See you later.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Hello?
This is not a drill.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
So that one was up there for me.
I would like to say that it was up there for me, but I didn't get to ask hardly any of my questions. I mean, I knew I throw a couple funny ones in there that I couldn't help myself on.
We barely scratched the surface. You're exactly right.
I had like actual content that I wanted to ask her about. And I'd really like listeners to send in questions that they may have for her. I think that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, I think we'll do that. I think we'll give like a little heads up, hey, it's coming, and then send us your questions. And then maybe we'll do questions with Taryn. Like I was going to, after the show, I actually pitched Taryn on, she really should have her own podcast.
She should. She has a lot to talk about. She has a great story to share.
She has a great, like,
charisma.
Her charisma. You're exactly right. She's great. So she was a lot of fun. She's been very patient with us getting this stupid podcast out. That's for damn sure. This has been such a tragedy to get figured out. But we're
there. I'm surprised things haven't been broken down here.
Almost. Almost. Now, speaking of things getting broken, you're going to hear, so we're going to cut this part now, and we're going to roll to mail that we recorded with you, myself, Braden, and Amanda, or Jamie, you're Amanda.
Stop getting us confused.
Never have I ever. And Braden, so here we go. I should play breaking news. Braden won this week's dating profiles.
I think it was staged. Like,
no, it definitely wasn't staged.
Yeah, you picked them in, and your picks this week were shit.
That is not true. Now, I still have them all recorded. Well, maybe I'll release it on an extra episode. Maybe we could do that. You never know. So what you're going to hear now is mail, and Braden's going to come back in. This is the most Braden talked the entire man picking and mail is all Braden's good at anymore.
That's all he does.
Since the divorce, we've lost him. So here we go. Listen in as we take the show home.
Check the effing mail.
This week in the mailbag, Wondering in Iowa says, where does the name come from?
We already answered that question.
Well, maybe she didn't listen and she doesn't want to go back. Or they don't want to. Our daughter got cancer. Denny and I didn't get along. I hated Amanda. We were in the hospital for a long time together. So we ended up getting along, putting our differences aside, and...
Because of cancer.
So cancer saved our divorce.
From being
Because divorce can either ugly. Be ugly and nasty, or it can be good and happy.
And then there was Jesus, so...
And it was happy.
That's where that came in.
I don't know what that part means. Mom in Dublin says, love your podcast from all the way in Ireland. Keep them
nice.
Coming. Thank you. Mom in Dublin. Curious in Montana says, my question is for Denny. Put your wives in order by how long you were together.
Well, this will be fun.
Whew. This is going to, like, Tracy's number one.
Mm-hmm.
She was 10 years. 10 years until Jamie.
Wow, that's fucked up, Denny. It's true.
That's fun. So it's Tracy. I think it's you next. I think you're the second longest running.
5 years.
Mrs. Browns.
Yeah. And then?
Angie.
And just because of time, like you will surpass them all, provided I don't die. You will surpass them all.
Or get murdered.
Yeah.
Who's going to murder you?
You.
Wife number one. All right. Anonymous says, will you ever get all the wives together for a show?
Nope.
No.
I tried. Once.
Yeah, we tried.
I wish.
12 burning questions.
I had 3 of the 4 on there.
But now our stupid basement podcast is not worthy.
Wonder if that's why. Divorced Mom of 2 says, how's it going with the divorce for Braden? Love hearing how you keep it all funny and light.
It's going for shit. But Braden, you can elaborate more.
Yeah, Braden, it's your divorce. Smooth sailing.
Is that what we call
it? Going
this?
According to plan.
Everything is going just splendidly, huh?
Smile on his face says it all.
Yeah. Jamie, give us a final thought and get us out of here.
Taryn, thank you so much for coming on. It was a blast. I can't wait till our next podcast when we don't have to be serious the entire time. Nope, that's not what I said before, but Denny made me redo it.
What did you want to say?
I can't remember.
Brayden, give us a final thought.
Taryn, I apologize for being the weirdo last podcast. Yeah. But
are you gonna do
the next time
next
you are
time?
On, I'm going to do better next time.
No, you don't.
I promise.
Don't.
No, I will. I will.
You're pretty sure. Amanda, give us a final thought.
The only way he'll do better is if he does it blindfolded.
Brayden is blinded by beauty and stupidity. Taryn was definitely beauty.
He had a busted biscuit face.
I think all of us go through those.
Jesus.
Yeah,
I think all of us go through that, actually.
My final thought, Taryn, thank you so much for coming on. Next time, Denny, I'll have to shut up so I can ask you all of my questions that I had, because I had a whole bunch of stuff I wanted to get into that we never even scratched the surface of. So I'm excited for next time. That's it.
Next time it is. Taryn, thank you for your patience, and I really appreciate you giving us some time this evening.
Wait a minute.
I promise I'll let the girls talk more next time. I swear. Until next time, Chico lives.
Y'all crazy bitch.
RDIVORCE.
You gotta fight!
I.
Didn't get enough of us this week, did you? Jamie, where can they email us?
Oh, you can email us at tgcsod@gmail.com.
Social media?
You can find us on Facebook. Thank God Cancer Saved Our Divorce.
Come on, there's a couple more.
Instagram at tgcsod and Twitter at tgcsod.
There it is, folks. Track us down.